Welcome to Families for Life, a podcast of Oakville Baptist Church. On today's episode, we're continuing our series, Forward Together, the Present. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, Pastor Allen. How are you today?
Great to be here, Brian.
Great, yeah. Exciting to talk about this. Last week's episode went really well, I thought.
Yeah, I hope it was helpful to people that they could maybe hear a little bit more information that we weren't able to get to on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your sermon, I think, really hit home with what we're trying to talk about the past and all those types of things. We're in this new series, Forward Together. So we're doing these special episodes that are kind of companion pieces to the sermon series. And we're talking about this, myself, Pastor Brian, and Pastor Allen. We're talking about what it means, past, present, and future, and what this Forward Together series is all about. So let me start off by saying, why do you think it's so important that we go forward into God's vision that he's given our church, he's given you, together? Why does our church need to be together?
Well, it's really important if we want to try to be obedient to what God's called us to. Mm. So we feel very confidently that the Lord is the one that gave us the plan that we have, how to develop out our North and South campuses for future ministry. And so it's really important to be unified around that, and especially since we went through all we've went through in the last 4 years, mm-hmm. because there are new people that are here that weren't here whenever the church went forward in unity for the plan that God's given us. So we've got to make sure that we're communicating and we're investing in that unity to make it be a reality.
Mm-hmm. So, that's good. Yeah. What role does unity play in all of this?
Well, I mean, we want to be unified as brothers and sisters in Christ in what God's calling us to, so we can be on mission together. Mm-hmm. Right. And so unity doesn't mean that we totally and perfectly agree on every detail of every issue or every even theological position. Sometimes there's a breadth of orthodoxy that you can hold to on different issues, and you're okay, but you can still be unified, mm-hmm. in what God's called you to. And so we want to make sure that we're pushing for unity, that we're all pulling the same way, and we're trying to get done what God has laid on us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I agree. The scriptures talk about how the church needs to be unified, and I think you're right. That was a good way to put it. It's not as if it's a blind unity, but there is a unity of spirit as we kind of move forward, because I think everyone can agree we want to reach more people. We right. want to grow the kingdom of God. And as we do that, we may not all agree on methodology or how that's carried out, but as a church, hopefully we can rally around that vision, and they'll trust the leaders as we yeah. as we lead the church to fill that vision how we think God is leading us.
Yeah, I sure pray that's the case, because if you've been around Oak Hill for any length of time at all, you know our goal is not numbers.
Yeah.
I have said for years that we want to move as God moves. So as God moves, we move. And we have just been doing the basics, I believe, what he calls churches to do in sharing the gospel and growing disciples and baptizing and all those things that we're called to do. And he has been good to us to bless us, mm-hmm. and as he has moved and he's brought more people, then it's incumbent upon us to step out in faith and trust him. Mm-hmm. And so as God moves, we move. And so hopefully people know we aren't just trying to renovate buildings and build buildings and have properties, because I didn't go,
yeah.
I wasn't called to seminary and to train for ministry to do those things.
Right.
But sometimes those things are necessary.
Correct, yes.
As you follow God's will for your church.
Yeah.
So
I see that. Well, last week we talked about, we felt like we were in sort of a waiting period, meaning that we didn't feel it was the right time to move forward with the entirety of phase one. We got into the pandemic and we had to pause. We talked all about that. And then we did some things, though, in that period. You know, we didn't just remain idle. So why did you feel it was important to not just be stagnant? There was waiting, but there was also things that we were doing in that period.
Right. That really goes back to what I just said at my last comments. There's always things for churches to do. Mm-hmm. It's always right to do what Scripture commands a church to do. Mm-hmm. So when we went through COVID, I remember the phrase that everybody kept saying is that, you know, nothing's ever going to be the same. Everything's fundamentally changed now. I kind of understood what they were saying, but to be honest with you, for churches, there are just some things that just don't change.
Right.
And so during that season of waiting, it was incumbent upon us to preach the word and to make disciples and to baptize and to invest in people's spiritual growth and to minister to people. So those things we just kept doing in the season of waiting. Now, what's happened is as we have been in that season of waiting, as we've walked through all of that, God has continued to move. God has continued to be good to us. And so we now find ourselves setting to where we have those issues pressing back in on us again of the lack of parking or the lack of ministry space, that it's clear to us, it's clear to me, it's time to continue to go forward and to move and to do what God's calling us to do.
Yeah, and sometimes waiting is a season of preparation. And so that's kind of, I feel like, what we were doing. Some of the things that we did and have done in the present that have got us to where we're at, we're preparing us for that.
Right, exactly. And so we've been working on phase one this whole time while we're doing just the standard things. And I see in that God has truly blessed us by what we see God's enabled us to do at North Campus and at South Campus.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's dive into that. So what have we done at North Campus so far?
So at North Campus, we made a big investment already. And as I've shared, you know, this building had a lot of deferred maintenance. It had some issues that had to be addressed before we could even really get in to use the facilities the way we want to. And so we have put on new roofs down here. We've on the gym, on the four-year, on the existing four-year space, and on the, well, I just call it the winged area where it's going up to the point of the of the church roof, those side pieces, all those have been done.
All the roof systems were bad when we came in. So the gym was really bad because we were using that for Upward and for our child care and some other things. So that we put a nice metal roof on that. It looks fantastic. Yeah. I love that. And then that foyer space was kind of the secondary. That was getting worse. And so we had to, that took a lot because these roof systems, some of them are not traditional roof systems. So we had to really kind of go around and problem solve and work with our contractors to get that done.
Right. We did. We had to take all of the HVAC systems off the roof, all of the duct work off the roof, and then they had to reconstruct the roof itself for drainage purposes and things like that. And then they had to cover it all with the rubberized roofing and put all the equipment back. It was quite a job.
Put new HVAC systems on there. Yes. And the duct work had not been installed really properly, or maybe over time it had gotten kind of corroded and there were big holes in the ductwork, and so we had to address all of that.
Yeah, so all new ductwork, it was wrapped with a protectant. I forget the name of it, but it's sealed
for like exterior
use. And so there's so much that's went on there that has been accomplished, which is now setting us up to where we can start to focus on the inside and to get it where we need to get it.
So, yeah, and a couple of exciting things here is we're using this property currently. Of course, our after-school program meets here. Our summer camp meets here. But our food pantry has moved over here. And so we built, if you haven't been over here in a while, we built a brand-new food pantry storage warehouse over here on the North Campus.
Yeah, that was just a God thing. That's another way that we see God moving and doing things that we did not plan. That we literally received a phone call from a realtor one day about our what we used to refer to as Life Change Central Campus or the Trinity Campus. And there was a local church looking for a building to worship in. And one thing led to another. They contacted us. We prayed about it, thought about it, went to the church about it, ended up selling that property to give us enough monies to then go and build a brand new food pantry facility on our North Campus. And that helped us in a lot of different ways, not just giving us a new space for our food pantry, but we also were able to get rid of some overhead too,
because
we had a whole nother property that we no longer have to upkeep, which is great because, like I said earlier, I didn't get into the ministry to collect properties. And so that's a really good thing too. So all of that, we see God's doing all of that just down here at North Campus.
Yeah.
So
That's
been
great.
It's been great. Then if you think about what's happened at South Campus, there's been some exciting things happen down there too. And things like our new student center that we have. And if you have not seen that, I would encourage you on a Sunday to make your way up there to see it, mm-hmm. and to see the, it's really a great space for mm-hmm. our students to be invested in.
Yeah, this was a long time coming. When we built, people may not know, but when we built our worship center in 2008, we had a meeting with our contractor, and they were doing the design and build. And they said, you know, guys, if you extend this building out X number of square foot, it's only going to cost you this much extra. You don't have to finish it out, but, you know, you need to think about that for future expansion. So we're like, we looked at the numbers, and we thought, well, that's really wise. Let's go and do that. So we expanded that out. And then one of our great church members that's not in our church anymore, has moved away, said, hey, y'all need to put a floor in that, or a ceiling in right. that space there. And so we voted on that in a business meeting, and we had a bunch of guys come out, and we put that floor in, and that yeah. was a blessing there. And so we had two unfinished spaces, that the fellowship hall, that was finished in 2013, I believe. We had some Builders for Christ right. come out, but that upstairs space was not finished for a long time.
Yeah, it was numbers of years. Well, since 2008 till right. we finished it.
And we called it the world's largest walk-in closet. We would fill it up with junk, and then we'd clean it out. And then we'd fill it up, and we'd clean it out. Until finally, we had to clean it out for good, and we had to build a student center, which I'm thankful we had lots of guys and people come out from the church that invested to help make that happen. We had to have some professionals build that, but we had a lot of people come out and help us as well.
Yeah, that was really good to see. There was some sweat equity that some guys and some ladies put into that room to really help us get it finished and to help. That's just mm-hmm. another way to keep costs down, too. Yeah.
So that was a dream that I remember way back in 2008. We thought, well, this would be a great student center one day when we right. when we get there. And by God's grace, we got there.
Yeah, that's great. And then so the student center's in place. And the kids ministry room is done. What used to be our original sanctuary mm-hmm. and then went to be our student area. Mm-hmm. Then since we have our new student center, it was able to be transformed into a large ministry space for our children's mm-hmm. ministry, which is very helpful, especially on Sunday mornings. And Brian, you may want to talk some about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, we're able to use it for our kids' worship on Sunday mornings, which also would freed up a classroom for a life group that was started right. as well. Right. So that was kind of a great move there. Wednesday night, we use it for Awana. Of course, there's other special events and activities that go on there. But it's a great space that God just blessed us yeah. with. And I'm thankful that we're able to continue to use that space for ministry, being that it is the original sanctuary. So right. that's the oldest part of our building.
Right. Yeah, it's still being used. And that was another thing. I didn't mention it, but over at the old Trinity campus, or what we call Life Change Central campus, where our food pantry used to be, whenever Trinity Baptist Church merged in with us, the goal was to always keep a ministry presence in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so throughout the years, we did that. We had some services there for a while, but we always had our Life Change Central ministry going on in that neighborhood. And then as God brought somebody, he actually brought another church. So there's an active church in that neighborhood still. So to see that property being used still that way, that's great. And then when you look at our original sanctuary, it is still, even after it's been built in 1965, it's still being used for ministry every Sunday, mm-hmm. Just now outfitted for kids.
That's
and
great.
So that's, yeah. been, that's a good thing, too.
Yeah, and another part of that renovation was partially through our building campaign, but partially through a grant that the daycare received as well. We were able to install a new door access system, yeah. and we were able to install some new doors that had the school guard glass to protect not only our daycare, but also our children's ministry. And so those areas can now be secured on a regular basis and, you know, just made safe. You know, the world we live in is crazy and right. we never know what's going to happen. And so we want to make sure that our children are safe and secure. So we have cameras now, we have door access, we have new doors in the back of our building. And so those are all blessings that came through all of these last couple years at our South Campus.
Yeah, yeah, and since we're recording this, you will have heard my message on Sunday, and really the whole point of that message was to really give thanks to our good God. He is so good to us. His goodness is displayed to us in so many ways. You've just heard some of the ways that he's been good to us.
Yeah.
And so we need to be very thankful for that because, like I said, we're not listing all these things off saying, look what Oak Hill has done.
Yeah.
Or look what we have led Oak Hill to do or anything like that. This is a testimony to God's faithfulness, to God moving, and then as he has moved, we move. But a part of that is thanking him for his goodness, because this all came from his hand. And it's not just in the buildings, it's not just in the construction, but it's also in the ministry as well. It's in seeing, like, during this time, you know, we have our Hispanic church. We've called it a Hispanic church plant because that's what it is. But in July, I believe they're constituting as as a church. Well, they started, and their growth has happened in the middle of the same season of time.
Correct. It was right. It was in 2019 that Leonid had started the actual church services.
Right. So they had just really got going.
And then a few months later, about less than a year later,
right,
the pandemic happened to them as well.
Right. And so that's just another way we've seen God's faithfulness, because they're averaging around 50 folks now in worship. And some Sundays it's more than that.
Correct.
And that's just people in the room. And then they count the people that are online with them. They've done a great, great job.
Which Leonid has a really great reach. There's people from actually all over the world that tune into his worship service.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited about that. And Leonid has the heart of a church planter. One of the greatest things is he's always looking for opportunities. We would laugh because he would come into staff meeting. He'd say, "Well, I'm looking to start a Bible study in this place." And he started a Bible study in Bloomington, and it turned into a church plant.
Right.
And now they have a sponsoring church there in Bloomington. They have a pastor that's planting that church. So Leonid's handed that off, but that's because of his ministry.
Right. Yeah. And it's his ministry, and it's what God's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's goodness to us. And to Leonid, to that church, that there's already been another church plant birthed off of them, and they've not even constituted as a church yet.
Right.
And so that's just amazing.
Then he came in and said, "I'm going to start a Bible study in Owensboro."
Yeah, so now he's got Owensboro on his site. So that's awesome, because that's the heart that you want your church planter to have.
Yeah.
But
God
has blessed. He blessed us with Leonid, blessed us with the growth of the Hispanic church. Their finances are coming around. They're exceeding their budget right now. I think that's great. So once again, why am I saying that? It is the goodness of God to
us.
And it is so easy to get so busy that we forget to say thank you.
Yeah.
That we can just take for granted that all of this happened,
right,
or we deserve this to happen, and we don't deserve any of it.
Well, and when you're in ministry, it's, you know, the perspective can change from week to week. It's good to look at these numbers, and I don't want to be totally numbers focused, but it's good because it gives you some facts to know kind of where things are at, some markers of where things are at. So, you know, we look at the numbers of Oak Hill. Not that we live and die by the numbers, but we do check them because we want to. Every number is a person.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And so we want to be accountable for that.
Right. And so if we think about that and we look at averages of numbers, where we were before the pandemic was, we were averaging right at 581, or 581 was our average in worship, I think.
Right. Yeah. In all three services, it was 581.
Right. And so that's what it was. But then we went through 20 and 21 and 22 and 23. And now we're in 24, and what we've seen by the numbers is we've went from the high 300s in the 2020 to the mid 400s in 21 to 22. The average was 500 to now 23 was about 540. And now in 24, so far, we're averaging 568. Mm-hmm. So you can see that over the course of time, God in his goodness has sustained us, has brought people to us, has given our people a heart to invite people and to share with them. And he has kind of brought us back to where we were even pre-pandemic.
And that doesn't include our online numbers, because we didn't have online numbers before.
Right.
We do track them now. So, I mean, that's another 20 or so you could add on to that attendance. Right. But here's the thing I don't want people to miss. Through the pandemic, we've talked to many other pastors and many other churches that have not seen this. Our church has been blessed, and I once again, this is not necessarily because of, you know, we're at the church, we're leaders. It's all of God's favor and God's goodness that he's done all this, but our church has been able to come back and bounce back through a really rough season because of God.
Yeah. And that's the whole point of all of this, is really to look at our present, is to thank God for our present, for where we're at.
That's good.
That the good God who has saved us from our sins, the good God who provides for us. He's the one, he's walking with us every step of the way. And that's what we need to remember, no matter if it's a pandemic or it's a sickness or it's other, some other calamity that may come. We don't have to worry. We can trust him. All we've got to do is walk in, just be faithful and walk in faithfulness and follow him as he leads.
Yeah. Another way God showed his faithfulness was we were able to meet our budget all of these years, even in 2020, 2021, 2022. I mean, we met budget every year.
Yeah. No, it's just amazing to me that that happened. But that talks about the goodness of God, but it also talks about the faithfulness of our people.
That's right.
The membership of Oak Hill love the Lord, and they give to the Lord through their local church to support the bride of Christ to do all that he's called us to do. And so to exceed budget in 20 and 21 and 22 was amazing. 23, we were right. We were like 98% of budget. Our spending was good, though, so we still finished with surplus even in that year. But we had some major things we had to adjust in 23 just because of the price of everything and the market and everything else that's going on around us. And then now we're in 24, and we had to adjust our budget again, and we are right now sitting at 98% of budget, which is very normal for us because we've got the rest of this year yet to go. So that's just another way that God's been faithful.
Yeah.
It's just kind of sounds like a broken record, but it's just what it is. This is what God's done.
Yeah. Well, I thought of a few other ways. I put a little list here. Is there anything that jumps out at you, things that other ways that God has blessed us over the last few years that really you feel are important to mention?
Well, I guess one that's really practical as it relates to what we're talking about North and South campuses, that we have, we are outpacing the pledges that were given, that were made at the beginning of our One Family, One Mission campaign for resources. And so we don't know exactly where that's going to end up at the end of this year, but we still have the rest of this year to collect those pledges and resources that were pledged. And we're at 98% now, so we could project forward that we are going to finish ahead of what was originally pledged. And that doesn't always happen either. So that's just another thing that that kind of sticks out to me.
One of the things that jumps out at me is we just celebrated our 60th anniversary of our church last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not lost on me that 60 years ago there was a group of Christians that said, hey, there needs to be a church plant in Oak Hill, in that area.
Right.
And now we have been able to lead that church. You are getting ready to celebrate your 18th year anniversary in May, and I've been here 17 years now.
Yep.
And so you've been almost part of that 60 years for what, a third of it now. So that's fantastic.
That sounds really crazy, actually. But that's true. I mean, and really the church has been blessed in the sense, before I ever came, they had their pastor, Glenn Flowers, who's still in our church, who I love dearly and loves our church. He was here 21 years.
Yeah.
So for the 60 years of Oak Hill, there have been almost 40 years of just of really two pastors. And if you know anything about church life, that doesn't happen all the time. No. Some churches, they're turning pastors over every 2 or 3 years and or less. And I am so thankful that I've been able to hang around and to be here and to have the privilege of pastoring here at Oak Hill. And you have been here almost as long as me. It was about a year later you came on the scene. And so I think that is a blessing. It's a blessing to me. And I know you feel the same way to be able to minister to the same group of people for that extended period of time.
Yeah.
So that's a blessing personally that I experience. And we both pray that we're a blessing to our church.
Yeah.
So, but that's for you all to decide, I guess. So,
well, and we've been able to fill out our pastoral team really well too. We have some really great partners that we get to minister with every day. You know, Pastor Evan came on a couple years. I think he's been here 2 years maybe now. And so we're thankful for him leading our worship ministry. And then just recently we had Pastor Paul, which is discipleship and missions, and then Alex Kilgore, student director, have come on staff. So
yeah, no, I think it's great. God is good to us to lead who he would have here at Oak Hill. Evan is just doing a great job. I love Evan, and he's just a blessing to me. I know he's blessed so many in our church. I've had many of you come up to me and tell me how much he means to you. Same thing with Paul. I've had many people with Paul's willingness to reach out to people and connect people and to have a passion for missions and for discipleship has been a real blessing to us. And then Alex filling his role as student director is really helping us. It gives us the opportunity to invest in him even more and to see all that God's going to do through his life. So that's all been really good.
These are all great blessings that God has done over the last few years. And it's just so great. Again, it's a testament to his goodness.
Yeah. So, I mean, you may be tired of hearing that, but that's the whole point. Really, the point is so many times in my life, I receive so much from the hand of God, mm-hmm. and I just go on in my day as if I deserve it. Mm-hmm. And this is just how it should be. And the first time I run up against a hardship, I'm like, oh, God, why me? And really, this is just to remind us in the present that we are living now, God's hand is all over us.
Yeah.
And he has been so good to us.
Yeah, there's just so much great ministry we could talk about. I don't want to, keep talking about this, beat a dead horse here. But the Lord has just blessed our church with a heart to reach out missions and to do ministry and life groups and all those types of things. So I don't want to, so much we could mention. But, as I've looked at the landscape of our church now, I thought an interesting question to ask you would be, how is our church different than it was before the pandemic?
Yeah. Well, like I said, some things don't change. So I was that guy that everybody kept saying nothing's going to be the same again. I was the guy that was like, well, I'm not changing.
Because, well, the Bible doesn't change and the Great Commission doesn't change. I mean, some of the methodology and how we carry things out, but there are things that don't change.
Right. And to be honest, some things did change. And one thing that changed was the makeup of our church is different because there were some people that through the pandemic, they're no longer here, and they, for whatever reason, they fell out. They never got back into church, or they found another place, or sadly, I hope there's not some just hanging out online still, because mm-hmm. it's time to come back to join the body in worship. But so we did change somewhat in our makeup. Another change was that we have an online presence now. We didn't really before, and so that's been a difference too. And I'm glad and thankful that we have that. But if people are able, if they are not sick, if they're able to be here, I pray they come to corporate worship.
No, we want to treat the online as a supplement to what we do on Sunday.
Right.
We do have some shut-ins and people that can't be there, and they're so thankful that they get to view the live stream every week and get to. They comment regularly on the Facebook that they're so thankful that we have that. But for the norm, the people that are able to, they're not on vacation, they're not sick, they don't have to work. Right. The norm is that you come to church.
Yeah.
So we treat the live as a supplement to what we do on Sunday morning live and in person.
Yeah, but those are two things that I would think that change a little bit, that we are somewhat different than before the pandemic.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that as crazy as it is, there was kind of a reshuffling in churches a little bit, and so God has brought us some new people and people that have moved. People are working differently now, and so it's really interesting to see. But your sermon on Sunday revolved primarily around Psalm 107. What drew you to that passage as you're thinking about God's goodness and the present that we're in our church?
Well, I remembered the passage because of the theme in Psalm 107. It begins this way: "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." Okay, so I'm like, okay, I want to talk about the goodness of God. So that seemed to make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, when I went to that chapter, there is a lot there. And if you were here on Sunday, I had to deal with some of it in theme, because God deals with a few groups of people and gives us people to consider mm-hmm. who should be thankful mm-hmm. to God for what He did for them.
But maybe their circumstances aren't the best, but they still are called to be thankful.
Yeah, right. Their circumstances, as if you'll remember from Sunday, were not good at all. they were talking about more or less somebody being on a ship that was out of control, and they were scared, or they were in prison, or they were sick. I mean, these are hard times, but it's in our hard times where God still shows His goodness to us. And so we need to be mindful of that. So really, it starts with that, that give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And then it says, for His steadfast love endures forever. Mm-hmm. Then it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and the south. So this has some historical context, of course. This is speaking about God's children, the children of Israel, and his workings in it. But as we looked at the psalm, we can very much relate to it in our context today in light of the power of the gospel and how God's goodness is shown to us through redeeming us through the power of the gospel. And so those were some of the reasons I was led to it.
Yeah. Why do you think it's important to continually thank God? And what are we thanking him for?
Well, I think if you get in the habit of thanking God, it protects your heart from wrong attitudes, from selfishness, from feelings, as I alluded to already, from feelings of expecting certain things should be your way. That if you just get in the habit of thanking God, no matter what season of life you're in, it's good for your soul. It's good for your spiritual walk. Mm-hmm. So I think, and what are you thanking him for? I mean, just think about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you just stopped right now and you got a piece of paper out, mm-hmm. and if you were honest and said, okay, I'm going to write down everything I should be thankful for.
Yeah.
How you'd write for a good long while.
Well, that's one of the exercises that Mike Sloss, one of our certified biblical counselors at our church, he has people do. As he's counseling them, he says, I need you to make a gratitude list. I want you to write all the things that you're thankful for, that you have to be thankful for about the Lord. And, you know, I've gone through seasons of being up and down. I've struggled with depression. And in those seasons when I get there, I do start a gratitude list, because it's really hard to not find yourself being thankful when you look at your life and look at all that God has done, even just in your family or in your job, or just the ability you have to get up and move and live and breathe every day.
Yeah, it's just, we need to remind ourselves of those things. It is so easy for us to... it's easy to find the things that are not right.
Yeah.
It's easy to find the things that we're not thankful for. But we need to remember, in fact, at the end of chapter 107 here in Psalm, it says, whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. So it's a mark of wisdom for those who know God to consider his steadfast love in their life, his unfailing love, his never changing love. And out of that comes his goodness to us. Mm-hmm. And so it's good for us. It's wise for us to do that as well. Mm-hmm. It helps us.
Why is it important for our thankfulness to center on God's goodness? You mentioned that several times in this podcast. Why do we need to make sure that it's centered specifically on the goodness of God?
Well, I mean, who else are you going to thank, right? I mean, you're going to thank, who are you going to thank for the good things that come in your life? I mean, you're going to, you could thank, people do good things for you. You can thank them and you should thank them, but ultimately, every good thing that comes to you ultimately comes from the hand of God. Mm-hmm. It didn't really actually come from that person. Now, that person was used maybe as a conduit of goodness to you, but ultimately, God is the one who is ordaining all the good that comes to you in your life. So I think it's important to remember that all the good that comes to me comes from the hand of God.
Yeah,
that's good. It just, I think it just protects our heart from getting man-centered or human-centered, you know, and keep our focus on God and him alone.
Well, the scriptures say, seek first the kingdom of heaven. That's what we're supposed to keep our mind on. Set your minds on the things that are above. So in doing that, our gratitude needs to be directed at the Lord and not at man.
Right.
What are some practical ways a believer can live a life of thankfulness?
Okay, I've been thinking about this. So I think one of the greatest ways that we can live a life of thankfulness, meaning we're remembering the goodness of God, we're thankful for that, is that we ask God to use us to do good to others. And that is a practical way that we can live a life of thankfulness. It's like, I'm not just going to thank God for all the good that's happening to me, but I want to be a conduit of goodness as well.
Yeah.
Just like God uses others to do good in my life, it's healthy to pray, God, thank you for all the good you have done for me. And God, then don't let the prayer end there. God, now use me to do good in the lives of others. And that looks like God, use me to share the gospel in the life of others. God, do use me to do practical deeds that help that person who's struggling. God, use me to do good by helping to provide financially for someone if I have the means to do it. But you be used by God. That's a practical way that believers can live a life of thankfulness, I think.
Man, that's really good. Yeah, I think that is so helpful. You know, if you don't have a time in your prayer life where you spend time thanking God, you need to incorporate that. You know, a lot of times our prayers can be, you know, God help me, or God, I need this, or you can be praying for other people, but take a moment in your prayer time to just thank God.
Yeah.
You know, make a list, make that list and pray through that list maybe.
Yeah. And I just think that when we live this way, scripture says it's wise to live that way. Mm. I just think it impacts, I think, relationships. Yeah. I think it helps us to live in better community with other people. Mm-hmm. It helps foster the unity that we spoke about earlier, is if we'll be people who are marked by thankfulness. We are thanking the good God that provides all we have.
Well, and I think that leads to my next question about some of the benefits of thankfulness. I think you listed them. You know, the main thing is our relationship with the Lord. You know, but then there's some of these other things that happen, like your relationship with others and your outlook on life. It's funny, I there was a study that came out recently, I believe it was from Harvard Health, that said that having more gratitude in your life makes you happier. And it's funny to me that it took a scientific study to tell you that, because God, this is written all over God's word in so many places. God tells us to be thankful in everything and in all things.
Right.
And we will be happier because our happiness will be found in the right place.
Right. And actually, to be thankful in all things, right? It's not just we're thankful because good's happening to us.
Right.
And see, this is something we need to understand about God. Sometimes when he does certain things in our life, it doesn't feel good, but it is the right thing that needs to happen in our life. Mm-hmm. He is a good God to us sometimes by not giving us what we think we need, or he's a good God by not bringing to pass something that we think needs to come to pass. And his goodness is shown in the fact that sometimes he gives us those hard seasons to walk through, because it's in there that he will do deep work in us. And mm-hmm. so his goodness isn't always just displayed when we feel like we have everything that we want or we need. His goodness is also displayed when things are hard and difficult. Right. And so we can give thanks in all things.
That's good. Yeah. Well, that's really good. I'm excited about people hearing this, not only your sermon from this past Sunday, but also this podcast, because this is something that we as believers, this is where we need to start, is living a life of thankfulness and a life of gratitude.
Yeah, and we can't be, and I'll be honest with you, to preach a message with some of the themes that I've been sharing, there's a part of me that sometimes, I don't want to talk too much about what's been happening or what's going on, or I feel like I need to almost pull back. I don't want people to think we're bragging or something like that. But listen, I think that's wrong, because I have tried to say over and over again in these podcasts, and I say it on Sundays, we are not celebrating us. We're celebrating the great God that we serve. And you know what? There is so much to thank him for and to give him praise for all the good he does to us. It is okay for us to celebrate the fact that we serve that kind of God. Right. And so I hope that you hear our heart, that this is about the good God that we serve, and we should thank him. Yeah. And I pray that cuts through.
That's good. Well, as we've considered the past, we know God has us wait sometimes. And in that waiting period, we must be patient. But we also realize that God is preparing us for something. Now we're talking about the present. And when you're in the present, you can look back and you can see God's hand in everything. You can see what's happened. That's the advantage of being where we're at now.
Right.
When we were going into it, looking forward, it was an exercise of faith. Now on the backside, we can look back and we're just thankful. We're thankful for what God has brought us through. And that season helps to prepare us for the future.
Yeah, that's really good, Brian. To kind of sum it up that way, because we did have to walk through by faith for some season of time. But now, as you said, as we look back, it is undeniable how faithful God is. It's undeniable what he has done. It's undeniable that he is a good God. And all of that kind of underpinning us and helping encourage us should set us up as we look to the future to say, God, we still want to follow you. We still want to do all that you've called us to do. just use us and use us for your glory.
That's good. Well, we want to thank you for listening. We are excited for next week's episode. It'll be the last episode in this series. We're going to talk about the future and what God has in store for our church, and also the perspective of having faith in the future and what that looks like.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad that we're able to do this, and I hope people are listening. I think they are, and I hope that people encourage others to listen, because it's just another way that we can give more detail and commentary to really all that God's doing.
Sure, yeah. Feel free to drop a comment on any of the feeds that you're listening, or you can send us an email. F4L@oakhillbc.org is our email address, and reach out to us and let us know what you think. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
See you later.